You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Devarim, and of course we read this Parsha as the Parsha that immediately precedes Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is next Thursday, Wednesday night, Thursday, and we commemorate and we relive and re-experience the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people being sent into exile, which we still suffer from today. We still don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We have been gathered in to a large extent. More than half of the Jewish people is living in Israel. I'd like to focus in on a pasuk and a medrash first in our parsha, and then I want to share with you a famous story with Rabbi Akiva, which is in the medrash in Eicha. It's also Gemara in Makkos, Daf Chaf Dalet. And I would like to point out something very interesting about these two midrashim that parallel. Vazik says, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, he's giving us the story, he's giving us the history of what's gone on in the 40 years in the Midbar, in the wilderness. And it says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayomer Hashem Elai, God said to me, this is before they're about to enter into a great battle with Sichon. Hashem said, Re'ei ha'chiloisi teslofon ha'chasichon es artsoi. Hashem says, behold, I'm going to give before you, they're going to fall before you, Sichon and his land. Hochel rei rosh loreshus es artsoi. The translation here is, begin the occupation and take possession of his land. Yetzei Sichon lekrosein, the pasuk says that Sichon and his people came out to greet us. They came to this place called Yahatz, that's where the battle was, and they battled with Am Yisrael. Okay. Hashem gave him into our hands, and we smote, we struck them, and him and his children, and all of his nation. So Klal Yisrael, when we take over, so when it comes to taking over the nations that were occupying the land of Israel at the time, so we destroy everything, we destroy and kill all the people, and we take over the land, and it doesn't sound so nice to the modern mind, to the Western mind, but if you want to replace an old, archaic, destructive culture, sometimes it's necessary, obviously at the behest of Hashem, to destroy that culture and bring in a new culture, which is what happened. Klal Yisrael brought in the first monotheistic culture that would ever exist and became the foundation for all of Western civilization today. Now, what I'd like to share with you is something profound about what happens. We need to understand what this means, but what happens when Klal Yisrael destroys another nation? When Klal Yisrael takes over, there's a pasuk. When it talks about the fact that we began, right? Behold, something's happening, and as the Mefarshim point out, Re'e means you should see something which hasn't yet happened. It's about to happen. Hashem was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu before the battle with Sichon, and Hashem says to him, see what's going to happen. He gave him a vision of what's going to happen. There was a spiritual seeing that was going on here. But in this process, not only is there a physical destruction here that goes on, but there's a spiritual destruction that goes on as well, of a negative spiritual force. That's what the Medrash is going to say. The Pasuk says, we say it every day in Shacharis, Lasor malchem bezikim v'nichbedei mechav le'barzel. Pasuk in Tehillim in Psalms chapter 149, verse 8. It says that we tie up their kings with chains, and their nichbedeim, their honored ones, in chains of iron. Ma'am Malchem, so what's the difference between the kings and the honored ones? Ma'am Malchem, the kings that we're talking about are the kings of the idolaters. Nichbedei Mechav de Barzel, who are the honored ones? that are tied up in chains of iron, elu sarim shalmalo. Says the Medrash, this is referring that to the fact that when there is a destruction here in this world, when we take out Iran's nuclear stuff or whatever, Hamas, etc. So there's not just a destruction of the physical aspect that's there. There's also a destruction on an, I would say, ideological level. There's a statement of this ideology has no place in the world. But there's also on a spiritual level. There's a worshiping of a God that's a God of destruction and anger that's destroyed alongside the physical destruction of the enemies of the Jewish people. We can hear that. We can hear that very clearly in modern terms. And the Medrash says, "She'ena Kodesh Baruch Hu pore me'uma asher pore misar tchila." Interestingly, the spiritual aspect of a nation is the first thing, the first aspect that has its fall before the nation itself. Which means to say that if we see, let's say, a destruction of Iran that's going on right now, that's only possible if preceding it, there's a spiritual downfall to the ideology, let's say, or the spiritual aspect of that thing that we see in this world physically. Ketzad, paravachol amitzrim l'shikam ha-kodesh baruch hu b'ayom ad sheshika l'sara t'chila. Paro and all of the Egyptians, what do we see? And we see this, it's something that we can actually see that the Pharaoh and all of the Egyptians, they drowned in the sea only after their gods were first destroyed, right? Through the process of the Makkos, of the plagues. So first, the Nile was one of the things that they worshipped, right? The constant flow of their parnas, of their livelihood. We can relate to this today. The Nile was first destroyed. And then, progressively, the different things that they worshipped, that they depended upon instead of Hashem, those were destroyed. And then ultimately, they themselves were destroyed. But the gods of Egypt were first destroyed. An interesting thing. Medrash says that in the Pasuk, when it speaks about the destruction of Mitzrayim, it says, Sus v'rachboi rama v'ayom, the horse and its rider were thrown about in the sea. So the Medrash says, the horse and rider that we're talking about is not a physical horse and not a physical rider. It's talking about a spiritual horse and a spiritual rider. The Egyptian people are a vehicle, so to speak. They're a horse for a spiritual concept, which is their idolatry, which is their ideology. And so there's a destruction of the ideology. Sus v'rachvoi rama v'yom. When there's a destruction of Egypt, so the horse and its rider, the people who upon whom ride a spiritual concept or a spiritual being, an angel, that's what we refer to it as, a sar, a prince of the spiritual realms, so they both fall together. Okay? That's the idea. Ve'av sichem ve'oy kishabikshu l'zavig in Yisrael. What did Moshe see when he is about to battle with Og and Sichon, these giants of the physical realm? So he's not just battling with them, but he's battling with their ideology and with their spiritual aspect. What they manifest in a spiritual realm, the way it manifests and rides into this world, so to speak. How it manifests in this world, which is Sichon and Og. And Hashem shows him, I can show you something that's already happened. It's already started. The battle has already begun because the spiritual aspect has already fallen. That's what we see in our parsha. We see that everything that you see in the world, all of the nations and that which they represent, all there's a parallel between a physical and a spiritual representation. And that can be seen to fall. We can see in the physical realm what's happening in the spiritual realms. It's very interesting. Now, I want to turn to this other Medrash, which I actually saw first, and I I was looking for something to connect it to the Parsha, and when I read what we just read, it struck me very strongly the following question. If we think about it, so, for example, we have Esav, we have the Western world, we have Esav himself, Esau. He was a counterforce to Yaakov, I mean, to Jacob. The Western world, Trump, we can say, America, Europe, the world of the West, is a counterforce to Klal Yisrael, to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people. The Jewish people represent godliness in the world, the learning of the Torah, the focus, the centrality of a relationship with Hashem in the world. We could say that Esav represents the centrality, perhaps, of my strength is it, my business acumen, my art of the deal, my ego. So there's a battle between Klal Yisrael, who is Yashar Kel, straight to God, and the world of Esav, right? But when we read the story of Esav and Yaakov, so before Yaakov meets Esav, so Esav's angel, the Satan himself, battles with Yaakov. Yaakov first vanquishes that spiritual aspect of Esav. He has a spiritual angel who battles on his behalf. Once we vanquish the spiritual aspect, so then Yaakov can vanquish the physical aspect. Now, who is the spiritual angel of the Jewish people? What is the spiritual angel of the Jewish people? What does it look like? So, we find in the Torah that Hashem sends a malach. He sends an angel before Klal Yisrael, but Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't want an angel, I want you, Ribbono Shel Olam. I want you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be the angel of Klal Yisrael. And indeed, when we are Yisrael, when we are Yashar Kel, when we are straight to God, when we are doing what we're supposed to do, Hashem himself, as it were, there's no secondary angels. There's no one beneath him that represents us in the heavenly spheres. When we're not doing it, perhaps what we should be doing, so then Hashem sends an angel. It's a very high angel. It's called Matat. Different kinds of angels. I don't want to get into the discussion so much, but the bottom line is, when we're doing what we're supposed to do, so Hashem himself is our angel. Now, and this is how I'm thinking about it. You know, but actually before I give you my thoughts, that's the hint. As we're about to read about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the famous story with Rabbi Akiva, it says like this. It says a pasuk in Eicha, Al Har Tzion Sheshamein, Shualim Hilchu Voi. This was something that hurt us, hurt our hearts. Our eyes were darkened. That Mount Zion, the Har Habayis, Har Moriah, it's desolate. Shualim Hilchu Voi, foxes are walking there. Right, it's desolate. Klal Yisrael can't go up to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Holy Temple. We can't go there. It's inhabited. At the time of the destruction, it was inhabited by foxes. In our times, it's inhabited by Yishma'elim instead of Shualim, by Arabs. So before we get to Har Habayis, before we get to Beis HaMikdash, the Midrash tells us a different story which is related and important. Relates to the concept of the West, of Rome, which we spoke about just now. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva, these four great sages, came to Rome. They heard the sounds of Rome, the noise, the power, the impact of Rome extended for 120 miles. That's how loud it was. And as the Mefarshim explain, it doesn't necessarily mean that there was a loud sound coming out of Rome, but it doesn't just mean that. It means the effects of Rome. The sound of Rome was something that was heard, it's heard down till today, right? Roman culture. Rome is highly regarded in Western thinking. Rome, it was a noisy place. It was a place that had an impact on the world. When they heard the sound, when they understood, intuited it, the depth of the fact that there's a sound here that explodes outwards. They started crying. They started crying because Klal Yisrael is the one who's supposed to have this kind of impact. The world is supposed to be led by a God-centered people, not by people who their highest ideal is success in business, success in war, success. Ego. Klal Yisrael, the humble ones who are just about shining God's light into the world. That's who's supposed to be shining out our light. That's who's supposed to be having an impact to a distance of 120 miles, which is an expression of very far. So, the Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar, Nazar, Rabbi Yeshua, they were crying, but Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Rabbi Akiva, Anabayachim, Atta Masachik. So he said, Akiva, you're laughing, but we're crying. Like, what's this about? He says to them, why did you cry? They said, well, we shouldn't cry. Look at these people, idol worshippers. Their whole essence is a broadcast of the fact that their egos are in charge. They sit with confidence. They're quiet. They have serenity. What's supposed to be the center of the world? Where is the light supposed to shine out of? The Beis HaMikdash. The place of Hashem's footstool. It's been burned. Mador, L'chayis HaSevel HaNivke. Not just that, it was burned by whom? By the Romans. So the ideology of the Romans has taken over the world instead of the truth, the depth of what the Beis HaMikdash represents. Should we not cry? He says, that's why I'm laughing. Okay, so in the first story, he says to them, if this is what happens to those who anger Hashem, so certainly it's going to be good for those who do the will of Hashem. Okay, so basically he's saying, and if you think about it, I want you to, as we're talking here, conceptualize the fact that we spoke at the beginning about the nations of the world and their gods, right? Klal Yisrael has a Malach, has a Sar. Hashem is the Sar. So then there's a Beis HaMikdash that's destroyed. That means to say that Klal Yisrael has gone into exile because of our sins. We've had a destruction. But our Sar, as it were, there's a loss of honor. That's how I would say it. A loss of honor, a chilul Hashem that occurs. And it's a mixed bag. And I think that's part of what Rabbi Akiva is trying to say. It's a mixed bag. The Jewish people, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the center of our life, really what's supposed to be the center of the entire world, of mankind's focus. When Klal Yisrael is destroyed, our Tsar is also Kiviyachal, loses his power. Hashem loses his power. But Rabbi Akiva says, it looks that way. It looks that way. Those who are angering Hashem, they seem to have power. It seems like their ideology is ascendant now. But he says, if it works out well for them, I promise you, I guarantee you, those who do Hashem's will certainly be ascendant. Okay? So that's the first story. It's the first story. Let's see the second story. Another time they came up to Jerusalem. They got to Jerusalem, they got to Haret Sofim, they got to the mountain that looks out upon Yerushalayim, and they tore their garments. All of them. Rabbi Akiva as well. He also was sad. They got to Arabayis. They got to the Temple Mount. And obviously, there was no Islamic shrine there. The whole area was open. And they saw, they were standing on Arabayis, they saw a fox come out of the area of the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Holy of Holies. which, by the way, is the precise location is underneath the Dome of the Rock. The rock is the foundation stone of Hashtzia. That was the exact spot. They saw a fox come out of the area of the rock. Hischila and Boichim, Rabbi Kiva Masachik, a similar thing happened. They started crying and Rabbi Kiva was laughing. They said to him, Rabbi Akiva, you keep doing this kind of thing. You're laughing, but we're crying. Why are you laughing? Same thing. So he says, so they say to him, what are you doing, Rabbi Akiva? Why are you laughing? And he says to them, why are you crying? Should we not cry? They said, Makam Shakasaboy. Hazar Karev Yumos. This is the Holy of Holies. This is the place that says if a non-Kohen comes in there, he has to be killed. Which expresses the intense Kedusha, the intense holiness that's present in this location. This is where you experience Hashem like no other location in the world. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is realized to the extent that if a person who's not supposed to go there goes there, he forfeits his life. But the holiness is gone, or it looks like it's gone. If a fox can just walk in and out of there, where is the holiness? Should we not cry? They were crying because the pasuk was fulfilled. That says it was the lamentation, the lamenting of Yirmiyahu Hanavi, which was that there's going to come a point where the temple is destroyed and there are going to be foxes walking out of there. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's why I'm laughing. Pasuk says in Yeshaya, I have two witnesses that I've set up, Uriah and Zechariah. Pasuk in Isaiah chapter 8 verse 2, Himani and Uriah etzel Zechariah, Rabbi Mikdash Rishon, Zechariah Mikdash Sheni. What do these two witnesses have to do with each other? Uriah is in the first temple and Zechariah is in the second temple. Elamar Uriah, Kaim Hashem Tzavokasi and Sada Dechars V'Yishlam Yemtia. Yehiva says a drasha. He says these two prophets said two opposite, seemingly opposite prophecies. One said that the mountain of Zion is going to be plowed over. It's going to be absolute destruction there. Amar Zechariah. Zechariah says the opposite. But he says there's going to be a renaissance. There's going to be old people in Jerusalem, young people, kids playing in the streets. The Jewish people will return to Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael will return to Jerusalem. The young and the old will be there together. And the pasuk before says, which the Marzu brings and says that's really the main pasuk. It says, I will return to Zion. I will bring my divine presence to Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be called the city of truth. The mountain of Hashem will be called the holy mountain. You're going to see Hashem there again. It's a promise. So Rabbi Akiva says, these two psukim are connected, these two prophecies are connected because you got to know that they're both going to happen. If you see one happening, which is the destruction, the desolation, you know the other one's going to happen. Now, I just wonder that how do we know? Just because the desolation occurred, who says that the good thing is going to occur? I mean, he said a similar Kavach Haimer, if Hashem does good to those who defy His will, so certainly going to do good to those who do His will. But we don't see that. It's not what it looks like. We see destruction. We see desolation. We see the death of millions. First base Hamikdash, second base Hamikdash, a million people were killed in Yerushalayim. Holocaust. We see desolation. We see destruction. But the thing that I was nisayar to from the first medrash, and I'm repeating this again to give a deeper depth to it, it needs to get into our heart. And I think this is perhaps what Rabbi Akiva is saying, or the depth of what he is implying. And that is that when you see desolation, where do you see the desolation? You see it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the place which was the most open manifestation that there's a God in this world. There was an Aron in there. There was an ark, a holy ark, which had in it the original tablets that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah, the relationship of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. And it was miraculous. It didn't take up any space. And you walked in there, the Kohen Gadol would walk in there and get atonement for Klal Yisrael. It was the center of relationship between Hashem and us. Now, you can look at the desolation of that place in two different ways. You can look at it as Klal Yisrael's finished. We didn't do it. Or you could look at it as Hashem went with us into Galus, where's Hashem now? We can look at a moment of desolation, a time of destruction as, where is Hashem? Or we could look at it as, Hashem gives up his honor here. The fact that he allows there to be such a strong question of how could he do this, means that Hashem gives up his honor in this moment where Klal Yisrael's honor is desolate. The Tsar, the spiritual entity which represents the Jewish people, which is Hashem himself, also goes missing, as it were. He gives up his honor in the world as well. Which means to say, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forever. Ultimately, there's no such thing as a world that Hashem will allow his presence to be completely missing from forever. Hashem will manifest his presence. He will show the world. Which really means to say that when Klal Yisrael goes into exile and Hashem also, as it were, goes into exile, the Shu'alim Hilchu Bay, the foxes are walking there, showing that there's no God there. When you see that, so you know that there's for sure going to be a return to this place. There's for sure going to be young people again. Klal Yisrael is going to continue. There's going to be a miraculous rejuvenation. There's going to be an unbelievable return, renaissance of Klal Yisrael in Torah, in connection, and manifesting Hashem in the world. Incomprehensible. Every single one of us will be experiencing and reflecting a Ruach HaKodesh, the divine presence of Hashem. We're going to see it. We're going to feel it. It's going to be so real. It's going to be the old people, the young people, the streets are filled. They're all playing. Hashem is playing, as it were, in the world, showing his presence after all of the darkness. I believe that that's the depth of what's going on here. The nations of the world, their Tsar falls when they fall. Klal Yisrael's Tsar, as it were, also falls, which is Hashem, as it were. But of course, there's no such thing as it not making its return. The Shekhinah has to return. There's no such thing as a world that doesn't have a God in it. It can't continue that way forever. That would defeat the purpose of Hashem's creation. And so Klal Yisrael will return. Klal Yisrael is returning. And it's to the degree and to the extent that we connect into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more that we do that, the more it's revealed. And the closer we are to Klal Yisrael returning into the Mikdash, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to that place of ultimate connection. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us to realize that He's the one. He's the center. His presence is what we're after. His presence in our heart, in our Kodesh HaKadoshim, in our Holy of Holies, is what we're seeking. Hashem should help us to experience the Churban, the loss and the destruction, but realize what Rabbi Akiva realized, that there's an implicit message that Hashem is always with us. Always with us, whether we're there or whether we're not. Hashem should help us to experience the return of the Jewish people and His presence. To Zion. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.